is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Change your story. Yeah, because he's the author. See, the characters in the story don't run the story. Y'all missed your shout right there. Sometimes because you're just a character, you might be the main character, you may be a supporting character, you may be protagonist, you may be the antagonist. Watch this. Watch this. I done seen God change stories where the antagonist becomes the protagonist, where the heel becomes the hero, where the fool becomes the rising up king. God has a way to take you from what you were to what he wants you to be. And my friends, I need you to understand this morning that God has the power to change your story. Too many of us think we done figured God out. We think we know how our lives are about to go because we're basing it on somebody else's existence. Well, if my mom and daddy and them ended up like that, that's probably going to be my story too. If it didn't happen in nowhere else in this community, it probably won't happen for me. No one's ever done that before in this family. No one's ever done that before with my skin color. No one's ever done that before down here in the South. That's never been done before. And so many times we forfeit what God can do and desires to do because we don't think he can change our story. Tell yourself right now, keep reading. Turn the page, and there's more to your story. Have you ever seen a story, you ever read or watched a movie that reached some kind of climax, but you look at the clock and you ran out of time? And when you run out of time for the allotted time of viewing, you see at the end three words that say, to be continued. Now, it's not the author's fault that you won't keep tuning in. It's not the author's fault you won't see how the story ends. You assume, based on how it ended the one time in part one, you feel like they're going to die. You feel like it's a cliffhanger. You feel like they're going to be destroyed. But if you mess around and watch the next episode, there is a part two to that story. And everything that happens is going to turn around. And I see right now that God is turning around your destiny. God is changing what people call you. He's changing what you feel. He's changing what you think. He's changing. Can't you see by now that many of y'all thought you had life figured out? God sent COVID. God allowed hurricanes. God allowed stuff to happen so you can understand and appreciate that all things work together for the good of them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And in order for it to be all things, you got to deal with bad things, uncomfortable things, stupid things, foolish things for it to be all things. And look here, y'all. Look here. Look. And hopefully today we'll look in this text. And we'll see how God changed the story of this sister who thought that her story was going to go one way, but just because God wanted to, just because God chose to, just because he just wanted to, just because God just figured I'm going to do it this way, he changed her story. And she went one place crying. Next time you turn around, she's shouting because God changed her story. You ought to be excited right now, knowing that if I just keep breathing, if I keep looking to the hills, that God will change my story. The way it is now, laugh at me now. Talk about me now. Criticize me now. Ridicule me now. But when God raises me up, when God lifts me up, when God gives me strength, oh, glory, glory, glory. And Jesus, my friends, in Luke chapter 7, he's in a healing mood. Y'all missed your shout right there. He's in a healing mood. He just got through healing a centurion's servant. He is in a healing mood. And so now Jesus is based in Capernaum. That's his temporary headquarters. And just because Jesus decides to go 25 miles southwest, y'all missed it. His base is in Capernaum. He's headed toward Jerusalem to go die for the sins of mankind, but he chooses to take a detour and go to this village called Nain. The name Nain means delightful. And Jesus decides to leave, take a little detour, and go toward delightful. Do you know why I can praise him that he changed my story today? Because he interrupted my path. Y'all don't see, I'm going to just preach to myself because y'all ain't ready to talk about it, but I'm going to tell the truth that he changed my story because he interrupted my path. Where I was headed, he intersected where I was going. I was headed to do one thing, but he came and interrupted it. I was headed to hell, but he interrupted me. I was headed to damnation, but he interrupted. He took the time and left his agenda and came to where I was to meet me where I am. Watch this. He goes 25 miles out the way to this village called Nain. And there, as we say, fate would have it, but it's not fate, it's providence. As providence would have it, Jesus says, I'm in a blessing mood. I'm in a healing mood. I'm in a miracle mood. Let me just go find somebody to go heal. Let me go find somebody to renew. Let me go find somebody and mess up their life. Let me go shut down some demons. Let me go shut down some mess. Let me go shut this mess down. I'm in a miracle mood. Can anybody ever just be looking and be excited about God being in a miracle mood? Look at it. He interrupts this path. Now, so often we think this story is about this widow. We think it's about her son. We think it's about the pallbearers. But this story ain't about them. They're important characters. This story is about Jesus. It's about his ability to go beyond barriers, personal barriers and public barriers, and still meet your need. Watch this. I'm gonna have to show you some stuff in this text because y'all ain't gonna like me in a minute. Watch this. He interrupts her path. There's a big funeral procession. And according to law, you couldn't bury, unless he was a monarch or some heavy person, you couldn't be buried in the city. So they're going outside of the gates of Nain to go bury this young man. This woman got a tough life because she's losing her only son. She just lost. Her only son has died. And Luke says that she also is a widow. So she got a funeral dress, because she knows what it's like to lose important men in her life. She knows what it's like to lose. She knows what it's like to suffer. She knows what it's like to go through because she had a funeral before for this man. And now nobody pays attention to widows. And then when the son who's supposed to take care and take daddy's place, when he dies, now she's really kind of up the hill. She's really up the river without a paddle, because now where is her support going to come from? Where is her help going to come from? Where is her strength going to come from? Because she's lost everything that's supposed to take care of her. God talking to somebody right now. Because some of you, under the sound of my voice, you're in a season in your life where it feels like it ain't one thing, it's another. That when it's raining, it's pouring. You get over a headache, your back start. Get your back start, your knees hurt. Get your knees hurt, your feet hurt. Get the feet back right, go right back to the head. If every time you turn around, something is going on. And if you're not careful, you'll spend more time complaining than praying. Because your existence has been so much negativity. And watch this. You want to see something important? And so she's headed out. Watch this. She's headed out to bury her only son. But then the Lord's only son shows up. Let me try again. She's about to go bury her only begotten son, but God's only begotten son interrupts her path. I'm going to try one more time, because the third time's a charm. She's about to go bury her only begotten son, but God's only son comes to interrupt her path. She's headed to celebrate death, but life is interrupting it. Woo! She's headed to go do something deathly, but life shows up and shuts down when she's getting ready to bury. And some of y'all done gave up on God too soon, and you're headed to go and to the cemetery, and God coming to the city. And I wish I had some folk in Winfield right now who were saying, I ain't going to the cemetery. I ain't burying this. I'm going to give myself a chance for the Lord to come to the city. Look here, y'all. Look here. Do y'all see this? Do y'all see it? Do y'all see it? Now, look at this, y'all. She got a crowd with her. It's a whole line of folks with her. She got some professional mourners. Y'all know. Y'all know the folks who are always at the emergency room with you, but they never in the prayer closet with you. Every time something bad happened, now they show up with their arms folded up. If you need me, let me know what you need. They sitting on their phone texting and telling who died and who got left out, who got arrested. But when God deliver them, when God heal them, them same folk ain't nowhere around. Watch this. Watch this. She's got a crowd helping her go bury. But Jesus got a crowd too. Lord have mercy. Go back in your Bible. Many of his disciples went with him and much people. He got a crowd that's following him. And what I love about the church, what I love about life, is that sometimes we get caught up not knowing what crowd we're in. Because oftentimes, Christ crowd and death crowd intersect. Yeah. The crowd just following to see what's going to happen. But when God show up, the ones who came looking for a story can't tell it right because God changed what they're getting ready to go do. The lady got a crowd to go help her bury. And can you see her? She's got her head down. She's crying. She's weeping because she's thinking about her experiences. This is my only son. This is my baby. I already buried my husband. I've already buried my rock. Now I'm burying another one. And she's got her head down. And I'm talking to people this morning who've got their head down. Because life is on your back. The devil won't get off your back. And you keep dealing with difficult experiences. And you got your head down. And do you know what I love about Providence? That there's problem when providence shows up in your life, that even though that the problem man you have is not that Jesus ain't show up, my head was not where I could see him. Because my head down, I ain't looking up and see Jesus. But aren't you glad this morning that the moments that I wasn't looking for him, he was still looking for me. The moments I didn't want him, he still wanted me. The moments I was so distracted, he still showed up. The moment I was so sin-stricken, he still showed up. I was so depressed, but he still showed up. I was so lonesome, but he still showed up. Oh, God, glory to God. He showed up. And the problem, the tension in the text is that she wasn't looking for him. And may I be honest about that, that there have been times in our lives that the Lord has shown up, we just wasn't looking for him. I assumed that this is just going to be my existence. That's just how it's got to be for me. Watch this. You know what's kind of unique about this whole story? Is that the woman never asked Jesus to do anything. She didn't say, Lord, if it be possible, save my son. The only other two resuscitations we saw was Jairus' daughter, but at least Jairus went looking for Jesus. We saw Lazarus raised up, but his family went looking for Jesus. This resuscitation, she wasn't looking for Jesus. She's looking for the undertaker. She already feel like it's over. What's the point? What's the point? Keep trying. It's dead. And I'm so used to losing, this is going to be my story. And I got so many people who dressed to go help me bury him. Because I really don't have armor bearers, I got pallbearers. Who is in your life that's helping you toward dead stuff, but ain't helping bring you life? Who is connected to only your suffering but never your praise? Who in your life is connected to not when God bring you out, but every time you're going through a storm, they show up? Maybe some people pushing you to this. Your challenge this morning, my friends, is to check your crowd and see if you're in a life crowd or see if you're hanging with a death crowd. Are people helping you bear it or people helping you go to bury it? Who you hanging with? Maybe that's why you ain't praising God like you should, like you used to, because the folk you hanging with telling you it don't take that. Start being real. You know, God gave you sense too. You know, God, I know you got faith. I know you love God and all, but come on, you need to time you be realistic. They're telling you to be realistic, and so now you got your head down. The more you got your head down, you're going where they tell you to go. And I thank God for his interruption. That where I was headed, he interrupts. That's what he did at Calvary. Because I was headed for hell. But he chose to interrupt it. And now I ain't got to go to hell because he already went and defeated hell. So he interrupted the path. And the Bible says that he sees her and has compassion and pity on her. Because he sees he's not compassionate because she lost her son. His problem, Jesus feels sorry for the woman because she ain't looking for him. How can you live in Nain, which is delight, and look at how you walking around? How you call yourself a child of God and you always frowning? How you a child of God and you never got anything positive to say? How can you be a child of God and say God is your father, Jesus is your brother, you anointed, but you can't smile? And Jesus says, I feel sorry for people like that. Because you done let this get so bad in your life, you're not even looking for me. 25% of us logged on this morning not even looking for Jesus. Just wanting to see what's going to happen. Who's singing this week? Who preaching this week? How I look up in there? You ain't looking for Jesus. And it's look, and he just, oh my God. He's moved with compassion because he sees her problem is not the funeral. The funeral helped manifest what's really going on with her. Because see, if you didn't have certain afflictions, it wouldn't reveal what's going on the inside. See, some people don't know what's going on with you till you post it on Facebook. And then be offended when people are getting your business, but you just put your business out there in public. Jesus says, there's something wrong. And so he interrupts her path here. He said, I got to stop this, because watch this. If I let her go bury this boy and let her go back to delight like this, she's going to destroy my whole purpose for coming. Because I can't have stuff that's supposed to be represented in my name looking and sounding like this. You can't be living in a place called delight and all I hear is death. So what I'm saying to you today is that many times God blesses you and spares you and heals you and does stuff for you even in the moments you didn't ask because his name is on you. See, y'all not going to be honest. But there are some things that God has done for me I didn't ask him to do. He did it because his name is invested in me, and he ain't going to let me die. He's not going to let me go through some stuff because it's going to be against his name. So he interrupts my path. And secondly, he inverts my predicament. He inverted my predicament. Problem she has with a predicament, she don't know what her predicament is. It's bad to have a problem and you not really know how to adequately and accurately understand what your problem is. You think your problem is money, but your real problem is management. You think your problem is sickness, But your main problem is eating right. I don't know why I went there, Lord. Because we sometimes don't tell the truth about the predicament. Her problem, y'all, is not her son died. Her problem is she don't have faith that Jesus could heal her son. And she never even asked him. She never even let him be in the situation. Watch this. But you know what I love about God? Say what, preacher? I'm glad you asked me. What do I love about God? I'm so glad you asked me that this morning. What I love about God? That God don't need my faith to still be God. Whether you believe in him or not, he's still going to be God. Whether you praise him or not, he's still going to be God. Whether you want him or not, he's still going to be God. Faith is for me. It's not for him. Lord, have mercy. Lord, if you don't bless me, just bless me, Lord. I'm preaching to myself, I guess, because y'all ain't hearing me this morning. I don't have faith for him. Faith is not for his benefit. It's for mine. And just because I didn't ask don't mean he ain't coming. Lord, have mercy. And I understand that many times we don't want God to show up because he going to shut down my penny party. And if God comes show up here and the Lord show up in this situation, people won't feel sorry for me anymore. Because she got a pretty good thing going here if you look at it. Come on, come here, come close. She got a real good thing going if she played this right. Because she already done lost husband. Poor thing. Now she done lost her only son. Lord, y'all, we gotta get a love offering for Susie Mae. We need to go and send her something because she done been through so much. And so if you really want to do it, Susie Mae, I don't know who Susie Mae is. I'm just putting that name there for this. So if anybody on the name Susie who's watching me, I ain't talking about you. I just use that name, okay? Susie Mae done lost her husband, Rollo, and she done lost her son, Boogaloo. And so she done lost Rollo and Boogaloo and Susie Mae, people feeling sorry for her. And if she played this right, people will keep feeling sorry for her. And she'll never be called on to pray for others. She'll never be called on to help somebody else. Because every time we see Susie Mae, we're going to remember what she's been through. And we won't ask her to forgive folk. She can be cussing folk out and it'll be all right. She can treat folk any kind of way and it'll be all right. Because we know what Susie Mae went through. And when Susie Mae want to be stupid, when Susie Mae want to get dropped, when Susie Mae want to get high, when she want to lay around, she can use the fact that she done been through so much. So she got a real good racket going. And maybe that's why Jesus show up and interrupted. Because you ain't finna play me and my people. Because some of us have prospered off our pain. But when Jesus show up, Jesus don't just bless you. He straightens you up. And you have to start taking accountability. Because I wasn't prepared for this thing to turn. Oh, the Lord talking now. He talking now because some of us like to have the sob story. And maybe God, some folk done got healed and then asked the Lord because you like being on the sick list. Long as we're feeling sorry for you, we won't ask you for certain things. Every time we think we come to you about what you said, you know who told me that same thing? My husband, God bless the dead. I'm talking to people this morning who are used to the sob story. And you weren't prepared for the Lord because he's getting ready. You wouldn't hear a word like this unless the Lord is getting ready to really give you what you say you want. Because y'all say, if the Lord, if I could just get this, I'll be all right. It's coming. What you finna do with it? Did you really mean it? Or do you want to keep having a list of stuff to use while you can't do any better for yourself? Because watch this. He heals a centurion's servant prior to this. And centurions aren't even part of the faith. So if he'll do it for folk who don't even serve him, he'll sure do it for folk who are his and don't even ask. Because his power ain't limited to just the people who pray. Ooh, Jesus, I thank you for your word. She could have a real good record, but the Lord finna shut this down. She had a real good hustle prepared. Because y'all got a lot of folk feeling sorry for you. They feel sorry for you. Because let you tell it, your life is just horrible. And Jesus finna interrupt this thing. And when he interrupts it, wait a minute, Lord. Hold on, Lord. No, Jesus. Look what happens. He inverts the predicament. He goes and he has compassion and he goes to the coffin. He goes and the coffin, the bear was an open coffin that they were going to bury him in. He wasn't embalmed because they didn't believe in embalming. Ain't no mummy. He wasn't embalmed, but they had some spices prepared to bury him with. But he's just laying on top of the bear. And according to law, if you touch some dead, you become unclean and cursed. And Jesus is willing to break his own laws to get you right. You can't get mad at the author for changing a book that he wrote. Y'all acting so slow. Do you understand that you and I this morning are recipients of the rule-breaking power of the Lord? Because based on the stuff we done and said and places we've been, you don't deserve a lick of mercy, grace, power, provision, but he broke rules just to help you. So you got to be careful when you try to put rules on other folk. And he broke rules to get you in. Just because you didn't get caught don't mean you ain't do it. He touches that coffin and the pallbearers stop. They pallbearers now. They got their white gloves and they doing their little thing. Every night I pray, every time you say, I'll be missing you. They from doing their little thing, right? Right. They finna take him on. But when Jesus shows up and touch it, they stop. Because you got to see the power of the Lord here. Because when the Lord touch it, other powers got to stop. So right now, just because Jesus doesn't touch the coffin, he might be dead temporarily, but he can't be buried because we can't get him to that place. And there are some things in your life right now that the Lord has touched. And the reason it hadn't buried you yet is because the progress that the devil wants to make in your life, the stuff people want to say about you hadn't come to pass because the Lord stopped it. You're talked about, but you ain't condemned. You're fired, but you're not unemployed. Because the Lord stopped where it could have ended up because he put his hand on it and it can't happen. No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. The weapon will be formed, but it can't prosper because he... And when the Lord's hand is on your situation, those who were assigned to bury you got to stop in their tracks because they can't do anything against the power of God. At work in your life, Jesus puts his hand on the coffin. Can I tell you something good here? He don't touch the woman. He don't touch mama. because mama wasn't looking for him. I'm just going to give you an indirect miracle. I'm going to raise up your son to show you, because ain't no sense in touching you because you weren't looking for me. But I'm going to do something so special in your life, you can't deny that I showed up. Watch this. Can I tell you how good God is? Can I tell you how good God is? God's so good, God know what's wrong without you telling him. He don't go to her and ask her, what you want me to do? He goes and do what he want to do for her. Woo! He goes and do what needs to be done for her. Ain't no sense in me talking to you because you wasn't looking for me in the first place. I'm going to go to the source of the problem. And they stop in their tracks because even demons want to see the power of God. Yeah. Yeah. And they show up and they stop in their tracks. So not only do Jesus, it's one problem when Jesus touch it. There's real problem when Jesus talk to it. Y'all ain't hearing God. Y'all ain't hearing me. Not only do he touch it, but then he talk to it. Not only do Jesus touch your situation, but he speaks to your situation. That's what he's doing right now these last few minutes. He done been talking to your situation. You done worshiped for 35, 40 minutes. That was touching. But now he going to talk to you about it through the word. By the time you come out of this service, woo, he going to change that story. Do you notice he don't touch the boy? He touches what's holding the boy. Because the prop, guess what? If he was just being carried, he wouldn't be considered dead. But because of what's carrying him, he is considered dead. He's really asleep. He ain't dead. But because of what's carrying him, he looks dead. See, if he's in a bed, he's asleep. In a casket, he dead. Y'all missed it. And some people are judging you because of what you're in right now, and you're called something you're not. But when the Lord put his hand on what's touching you, you're going to come up and be what God calls you to be. Y'all missed it. If he was in a bed, they'd say, look at them carrying that boy. But they carrying that boy for on that mat like that. Because he's just been asleep. But because he's in a casket, and because people are dressed for death, they assume he dead. And that's the problem people have with your story. They assume some stuff about you based on what you're dealing with right now. You assume some stuff about yourself. You think your life is over. You think you're in shambles. You think you're defeated. You think you left out. But you got to start looking around. It's not about you. It's about what you're in. But the Lord will put his hand on what you own and free you from it. Look what happens. The boy, the man, he says, young man, I say, arise. Go in the Bible, so y'all won't be saying, hey, I'm make this stuff up. Young man, verse 14, I say unto you, arise. Young man, I say unto you, arise. Young man, I say unto you, arise. Not Joshua, get up. Young man right here, you get up. Huh? Not Rahab, get up. Young man, you arise. Not your daddy. All right. Come on, not your daddy that we already buried. You, young man, arise. And the young man sits up. The young man sits up. God done messed around and shifted the story, because we were headed to the cemetery, but we're still at the gate. So he done changed the setting. Now he about to change the plot. Because we finna worry about repast, and we finna have revival. Because he sits up. But it's easy for him to sit up, because the casket has stopped. Y'all missing me. Because whatever was carrying him can't make progress. It gives him the power now to sit up. But you got skeptics in your life. And there are skeptics in this crowd. Remember, you got folks watching. You got a crowd who don't know Jesus. They just know how to see death. You got a crowd who came expecting to see a burial, so they're going to get mad when they don't see what they came for come to pass. I'm going to get in trouble with Winfield now. Because some of us come to stuff and show up at stuff looking for stuff, and then when the stuff we're looking for don't show up, we mad. And we start criticizing everything that happened when we showed up. So if he just sit up, they going to say, oh, that was just a muscular kind of cramp. It was some type of little issue that caused him just to pop up. Oh, it was just his last breath. It's caused some kind of bodily reaction. He really dead. But then what the Lord say? He touch him. He sit up. Then the boy start talking. And you'll know that your story changes when you start talking like who talked to you. Because the last person who talked to him was the Lord. The last person who ministered to him was the Lord. And he began to do what was done unto him. He sits up and starts speaking. Y'all ain't hearing the Lord. Y'all ain't hearing the Lord. He sits up and starts talking. He sits up. They can't lie and say he ain't really living because he starts talking. Dead folk don't talk. So maybe his problem, because we don't know what killed him, we just know he was a dead man. Y'all ain't hear me. We don't know what happened to him. We just know he was a dead man. But when the Lord showed up and touched what was holding him, he sat up and started talking. So maybe what was killing him was not being associated and connected to Jesus. And that's what's wrong with our community. We ain't touched Jesus. That's what's wrong with Washington. We ain't touched Jesus. That's what's wrong with Baton Rouge. We ain't touched Jesus. That's what's wrong with the church. We ain't touched Jesus. Because watch this. There is not but one resurrection. I told you about Jairus' daughter, who was dead, but the Lord raised, came to her house and got her up. Lazarus was buried 4 days. The Lord went to the grave and got him up. This his situation was in between the house and the grave. Y'all ain't seen God. I'm going to try one more time. Jairus asked him to heal my daughter, get my daughter up, but she was at the house. That's the power of Jesus to take care of your house. But then he goes to Lazarus' house, goes to Lazarus' grave. He really dead. Ain't no just half. He really dead because he was stinking for 4 days in the grave. Got him up. This here happens at an intersection of city and cemetery. The intersection of city and cemetery sounds a whole lot like community. Because that's the place where the most crowds interact. And Jesus lifts a man up in the community. I'm trying. He lifts a man up. The power of the Lord is shown at the intersection of whether you're good people or bad people, but it's a place everybody show up. To show that the power of the Lord is available everywhere. And you can't say you ain't see it because he sat him up and then got him to talking. And look what happens. Bible says fear. Phobos. Fear. That's where the word phobia comes from. Fear came upon all because they couldn't believe what they saw and couldn't believe what they heard. Because when the Lord changes my story, he interrupts my path, he inverts my predicament, and it invokes my praise. Because when he done changed my story, I can't be the same. When he done changed my story, I just can't look at stuff the same way I looked at. When the Lord changed my story, I can't pretend like I didn't see it because it's my story. Now, if you don't praise God for moving in your situation, maybe the problem wasn't that you wanted God. Maybe you're just used to complaining. Let's see what happens. Because, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, that God had visited his people. May I show you something? We're not in Bible study. Let me show you something, though. Fear came on all people, and they figured a prophet showed up. They figured God showed up, but they didn't realize God did show up. Because Jesus is God. God is Jesus. They thought his representative showed up and didn't realize God showed up. You know why? Because look what the Bible says. Fear came on all. And then they said to themselves, the Lord has visited his people. They did not say the Lord visited us. The Lord must have visited his people, but he did not visit us. And there are some people in your miracle who are part of the story who are not God's. And all they're going to do is give a testimony that if heathens see God show up in your life, you ought to be able to praise God. When hellions show up and see the power of God, you ought to be able to praise the Lord. Because it was nobody but the Lord that make heathens say, got to be a God somewhere. And they got enough sense to realize he ain't my God, but he's somebody's God to show up like that. And if you keep on praising and keep on being what he called you to be and spread the good news of Jesus, maybe they'll go from his people to us. But he can change the story. And this, now we don't hear anything else out of this woman. The story shifts. It begins talking about Jesus in verse 11, and the end in verse 17, his fame spread about. Y'all got to handle this. You got to handle this. You got to handle this. That when God bless you, don't you dare take glory and act like you did something. You better tell them about a man who made a way where there was no way. A man who touched me in my situation, and he brought me out. A man who died for my sins and raised me up on Thursday morning. You better tell him it wasn't me, it wasn't my intellect, it wasn't my smarts, it wasn't my good looks, it wasn't my connections, it was Jesus that showed up. If people ask you, how did I get out? I don't know how I got out, but I know that was a Jesus. Is there anybody else under the sound of my voice who don't mind admitting it's not me, it's Jesus? He changed my story. He renewed my faith. He brought me out. He brought me through. He lifted me up. He healed me. He blessed me. He saved me. He touched me. He holds me. He provides for me. He turned it. He turned it. It was headed one way. Oh, but he turned it. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, buried deeply, stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and he changed my story. And from the waters, he lifted me. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, now I see. He changed it. He changed my story. He changed it. And that same power is available to you and I, even today. That if he'll do it for people who were not expecting him, he'll do it for people who do expect him. This is a cautionary word today. This is a cautionary text. Because at this point in your life, you ought to have your head up. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up. The King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Listen, you've got to start having your head up. I don't care what happened to you, have your head up, because he's headed to your path. He's headed to your situation. Keep your head up. He's headed to that job. Keep your head up. He's headed to that sickness. Keep your head up. He's headed to that issue. Keep your head up. He's headed to your child. Keep your head up. He's headed to your husband. Keep your head up. He's coming. You gotta keep looking for him. And today might be the day that the Lord interrupts your path and changes your whole story. Turn the page. Keep on living. Keep on trusting. Keep on sowing. Keep on believing. Keep on reading. The story gonna get better. You got peaks and you got valleys. You got ebbs. You got flows. You got characters coming. You got characters leaving. But the author still got you in the story. You are the main character, but he is the author. And he's got the power, because he got the pen to your life to change whatever he wants to change. I can take you from a demon to a deacon, from a pimp to a preacher, from a sinner to a saint, from a homemonger to an usher. I can take you from going out to being in just because I changed the story. I'm a living witness. He can change your story. And I offer him to you now. Put your name in his book that he might change your story. Books are filled with chapters. And just because you haven't reached a certain chapter in your life does not mean your story is over. There are still pages left to be unwritten to the story of your life. I offer Jesus to you now, my brother and my sister, that you'll come to him. Stop trying to let everything else, and you assume that your life is going to end up this way because that's just what's in my blood. That's just how my people are. That's just how it is at Winfield. That's just how it is in the church. God has power. He doesn't need your faith to be power, but that faith will help you as you wait and yield to his power. Today you ought to know that God's power supersedes everything you think about yourself and everything people think about you. You are more than your problems. You are more than what weighs you down. I want to offer Jesus Christ to you today. He doesn't come to make you perfect. He comes to bring you into family. We're imperfect people serving a perfect God. And I want to invite you. I want to do the best thing I can do for you and invite you to Christ today. That you need to know him. Inbox us, please, on our page. If you want to be saved today, that you want your story to change from being a sinner to saved. That's the transition you want in your life. Then, when you get saved, I got to be real with you. Your story go include some stuff that you dealt with while you were a sinner. But the only difference is, your story go in a lot different than it started, not because of the situation, but because your status has changed from sinner to saved. It doesn't mean that you won't have problems. Don't mean you won't have issues, but now you're in a different hand. It's now God's joy and privilege to keep you in perfect peace, to keep you in his hands, to keep you under his wing. And he won't let some stuff take you out, even though you must deal with it. If you read Isaiah 54:17, we always shout about, no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. And I shout off that every day, especially some of the people you deal with. The weapon will be formed, but it can't prosper. But if you're finished reading that verse, this is the heritage of the servants and children of God. That's the heritage. That's what comes with being a child of God. Only with the children of God. If you're not a child of God, you run the risk of those weapons taking you out. There's a blessed insurance in your blessed assurance that when God saves you, he protects you and keeps you. The premium's already been paid. The blood was already shed on the cross. Lift up your head. Perhaps today you are saved and you've been ready to throw away the whole book. I quit. I can't take anymore. This life has hurt me. These people keep hurting me. Situations keep hurting me. And you're saved. And you assume that your life was just ending right here. And today you want to just need a prayer of help. You want to rededicate yourself to him. I ask you to inbox us. Make communication. And we will address you. We will share with you momentarily in this walk with you to help you and assist you. Life can hurt you sometimes. Your story is different than my story. My story is different than yours. But I want to be in the same author. If we're under the same author, we're going to end up in the same place. At the conclusion of it all, that God will get the glory from our lives. God bless you. God bless you. He changed my story. He still desires to change your story, even today. Turn the page. Don't give up. Turn the page. I know you're hurting. Turn the page. Every time you turn the page, you might be hurting, but you're going to see something new on the page. There's going to be some new opportunity, some new experience as you turn the page. Keep waking up in the morning. Don't give up and don't give in. Don't give out. God's got something special in store for his that he's put his hand on. And God has a way of changing. You headed to the cemetery, and God will bring you back to the city, to the place called delight in your everyday life. Amen. We thank God for his word. Now we want to pause and share together breaking bread of the Lord's Supper. No better moment to do this to symbolize what's been done for us that we could not do for ourselves. Jairus' daughter was a resuscitation. Lazarus was a resuscitation. The widow at Nain's son, resuscitation. The widow woman, the Shunammite woman's son, resuscitation, because they all died again. There was not but one resurrection. That's in Jesus Christ, because he rose that third day morning, and he hadn't died since. He lived then, he still lives now. He's at the right hand of our Father, interceding for us. And because he lives, we live. It's important to know this today, my friends, that Jesus was born, and we ought to praise him and celebrate the fact he was born. He healed. He did miracles. He performed mighty acts. He rose that third day morning. All those things we ought to tell and ought to be proud of, ought to praise him for. But if he hadn't have died, that's what he came to do. He came to die. If he didn't die, we'd have to die eternally. And when he died, gave his body, shed his blood, they gave us the opportunity. So if you want to shout off something, I'm like old Baptist preacher now, you got to shout that he died. But he wouldn't stay dead. He got up with all power, died for our sins, past, present, and future. What comforts me in knowing that if I was the only person in this world, he would have died for me still. And then other comfort is, I got to realize that I'm not the only person that he died for. And it makes me more gracious toward people. The one you can't stand, he died for them. The one who did you wrong, he died for them. And if he can die for me, I can live. Jesus says, heard a preacher say this, that when Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. Jesus didn't say anything about remembering my birth. He didn't say anything about remembering my resurrection. He didn't say anything about remembering my miracles. I want you to remember that I died. This do in remembrance of me. We pause now as a family. You partake of this and let us examine our hearts. Make sure we don't have any schism in our heart to our brother or sister. I don't want to eat this unworthily. I don't want to eat damnation to my own soul because I got some in my heart. And I don't want to poison, take this moment with contempt, malice, unforgiveness in my heart. And as you do this, examine yourself. Make sure that your heart is clean toward your brother or your sister. Because as we partake of the body of Christ, we remember that we are the body of Christ. As we take, we got to eat all of it, and not just my part of the body, but we eat all of it. He took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. He says, take, eat, this is my body. took the cup. When he gave thanks, he said, this is the blood that I'm going to shed for remission of sins, a covenant, a sign with this blood, that as you take of this, you be cleansed, you be healed, you be manifested. When God sees you, he does not see your sin.